5 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. It's Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Joining me on the First Advantage hotline, powered by First Advantage. Oh, yeah, there we go. Zach Stevens joining me from DNVR Broncos. He's our Broncos insider. Zach, my man, I love when we can start the week off with you. This is fantastic. Appreciate your time, my man.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for having me, Brady. And, I mean, what a big week coming up.
Finally, we're done with the preseason. We put that thing to bed. The Broncos finished 2-1 in the preseason. A little better showing over the Vikings for the Broncos so they can wash the bad taste out of their mouth from that Bills game a while ago. That was rough. But Broncos win 23-13. The big question, Zach, I know we got cuts coming up soon. Got to get this thing done by tomorrow, right? We're talking quarterbacks. We're talking about that backup quarterback position for the Broncos.
Oh, Brady, thank goodness it's the backup quarterback position we're talking about this year. And you know what? Brett Rypien did a great job pushing Josh Johnson for the job. He did a lot better than I expected, and he truly made this a competition. But I think there's one play that's going to come back to haunt him and ultimately make the decision whether or not you agree with it. Nathaniel Hackett, after the game, just continued to point at that interception by Brett Rypien in the end zone, and I think that is what is ultimately going to cost him the job. But I wouldn't be surprised if they end up going with Brett. Maybe a little bit of a higher ceiling because he's younger, more longevity with him. You could sign him to an extension, obviously a small extension, but to keep him as the backup if the coaching staff really likes him. But ultimately, Brady, this was Josh Johnson's job to lose, and I think he did just enough to hold on to it. Again, that interception in the red zone. Brett Rypien was so good on Sunday or on Saturday, except for that pick.
Yeah, well, and sometimes it's all it takes is a play or two to really change things around. So when you look at the quarterback position, you're leaning toward Josh Johnson at this stage. How do you feel about the backup quarterback position? And you're right, it's much better. We've got the starting quarterback figured out. That's great. It's much, much easier, but this is what we do. We start debating the very next thing. How confident are you? Whether it's, like you said, probably Josh Johnson, maybe there's a surprise with Brett Rypien, how confident are you in that backup position if Russell Wilson happens to go down?
Yeah, I think you can get by on one or two games, and you know, two is really the max that I have for this. Regardless of who it is, there's a huge drop off really in pretty much every single quarterback room between that starter and that backup, and it's no different with the Broncos. You can get by with maybe six quarters of play from one of these guys, especially in the AFC West, Brady. That's what makes it so tough, is how competitive this division is. You can't afford to drop multiple games.
Yeah, you can't, and that's what's going to be so. Hopefully, we don't ever have to get there. Russell Wilson, other than last year, you know, pretty good career as far as talking about injuries. So maybe we won't even have to have that discussion. But we know who it is going forward, Russell Wilson, and now we can set our sights on the Seattle Seahawks game. And it will not be against Drew Lock unless Geno goes down for some reason. But Drew Lock, on the other side of things, Zach, he had his opportunity and he did not run with it.
Yeah, he did. And now a second year in the row, Drew misses out on a starting job to really a journeyman quarterback. So I think that it's not just all Vic Fangio. I think the Broncos fans can kind of understand that Drew, the Broncos probably didn't miss out on something big there. And I'll tell you what, I think this Broncos defense was ready to play Drew, would have preferred to play Drew. But instead they got to go up against Geno Smith. But Brady, Russell Wilson versus Geno Smith. I don't even have to tell you the other guys around him. I don't have to tell you the head coaches. No. I don't have to tell you where the game is. This should be an easy Broncos win. And I'll tell you what, when the Broncos lines originally came out in Vegas, Broncos are favored by 4.5. Now they're up to 6.5. And just in the past couple of days, that line has already moved like 1.5 points. This thing could get over 7 because I think the general public sees where this game is going.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. Just the way this thing probably going to shake out. Hopefully, for the Broncos' case, they can jump out the gates, go 1-0. I think Broncos country would feel great about that. Zach, when you look at the other guys on this roster, the spots that might be open. And McTelvin Aguim, I thought, had a really great game. He was our player of the week. I loved what I saw from him. Is he going to make this team, though?
Yeah, he made a fantastic push before this past game. He was on the outside looking in. After this game, I think he's on the inside Brady, and typically that's what the final preseason game is about, is for 1 to 3 spots that are still open on the roster. And defensive line, the Broncos do have some questions at depth there. You see McTelvin, the big game he has, and the talent has never been an issue with him. Brady, he was a 5-star recruit. He was the number one player coming out of Arkansas as a high school player. He had so much talent, and he was just so inconsistent during his career at Arkansas. And now he's put it together, and you see it in flashes. And so I think that he does make the team because of that one performance.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, with Brett Rypien, you can take a bad play, and that could be the deciding factor in a close battle. And then with McTelvin, I mean, you look at that and say, man, he had some monster plays in that game. He did feel like he was all over the place. So I'm rooting for him. He's a fun player to watch. I don't know how it'll work out for him in the end, but he's a guy you kind of root for.
Yeah, you do. And also, Brady, I mentioned talent. That is also typically, whether it's fair or not, if you have a guy that's talented and that has had some flashes, regardless of what position they're in, they're going to get the benefit of the doubt. And so I just think that his talent plus with his flash, I mean, 2 sacks, 2 forced fumbles. He was just all over the place, causing absolute havoc along the defensive line. And this is a guy where the Broncos, I don't think they expect him to be a starter by any means at all this year, but they could keep him on the roster and say, maybe next year he becomes that starter for us.
Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos. All right, Zach, other moves that you've got your eye on, any surprises we should be ready for tomorrow with the big cut day coming up?
You know, not really. When we're talking about the defensive line, you can look at Mike Purcell and say the Broncos could save a couple million by moving on from him. They did not play him in the past 2 preseason games. And that can be an indicator of he's made the team. But don't forget that it could also be the indicator of we know who he is as a player, and we don't want him to get hurt in case we do want to move on from him. So that's one to keep your eye on. I would expect that he does make the team, though, but that's a guy. And then, really, Graham Glasgow, I mean, we're talking about borderline starters here. There really shouldn't be a big surprise. It would surprise me if they moved on from Kareem Jackson, because he seems like he is going to be a big piece of this defense this year. And then outside of that, you're not really looking at any big surprises, because a lot of these veterans that we're talking about, Graham Glasgow, you don't save any money for moving on from him. Melvin Gordon, he's $2.5 million. Kareem Jackson, he's $2.5 million. So you're not talking about a big veteran cut that'll save the team upwards of $10 million.
Yeah, that's interesting for sure. How about on the offensive side of the ball, outside of the O-line, when you look at how many guys they're going to carry? Let's kind of just go down the list here. Obviously, as you mentioned, probably looking like Russell Wilson and Josh Johnson at that point at the quarterback position. How many running backs will they carry going into the regular season?
You know, I really liked what I saw from the backup running back this week. For the first time, it's something that I really liked what I saw. But there's still a massive drop-off from Mike Boone and the rest. So for me, it's pretty easy. It's going to be those three. And boy, Mike Boone, he played the way he played this past weekend. He deserves to get some playing time in the regular season. Now, it's going to be hard to take Melvin and Javonte off the field, but you got to have Mike Boone out there occasionally, which is how tough he was to tackle. So I'm going to go 3 guys at running back.
3 guys at running back. 5, 6 receivers. How many you see there?
Yeah, I think they stretch it out to 6 at the receiver position. And this is a tough one with Brandon Johnson going down. The Broncos could cut him and then bring him back, put him on short-term IR. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with him. They could also put him on IR for the rest of the season and just kind of do a redshirt season with him. That's going to be interesting, because I think he was on the way to getting that 6th final spot. Seth Williams had a good game, although 1 bad drop. And Kendall Hinton, he has not really flashed this offseason and grabbed a job and locked up a job. But he is Russell Wilson's safety net. So I do think he ends up getting the spot. Obviously, Montrell Washington, he's your 4th receiver. He has locked that up as also a special team special player. And then it's going to be Seth Williams. Does he get it? Jalen Virgil, I don't think he gets it. And it's really impressive the depth that the Broncos have.
Montrell Washington, Zach, I mean, this guy, he might have some potential to be a difference maker. As you said, receiver, return game. I'm really curious to see how he's going to work out, even in this 2022 season.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I have been so unbelievably impressed with Montrell as a receiver. We knew he was going to be a pretty good returner, and he's earned that job. He's earned the trust of Dwayne Stukes at that job, which is very important. But as a receiver, you know, if K.J. Hamler misses a game or two, I don't think you're missing much with Montrell stepping up right behind him. What's really surprised me isn't just the deep threat that he can be, it's the all-around possession guy that he can be. And he's really become trusted by Russell Wilson as well. So for a rookie to come in as a punt returner and gain the trust as a receiver in a couple of months, it's been very impressive. And he's a really easy guy to cheer for.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do, especially in that return game. What's the tight end situation look like, Zach?
Oh, man. I mean, the separation between tight end one and tight end five is barely anything. Now, you think that they're going to keep Andrew Beck as a fullback because they haven't worked anyone else there at fullback. So you have to imagine that he's staying. And then you talk about Eric Tomlinson, Eric Saubert. Those guys are just as close to being the starter as they are to being cut, it feels like. Alberto is going to make this team. And then obviously you're keeping Greg Dulcich. So, Brady, I'm going five tight ends, and then maybe they move on from one of those guys once Greg Dulcich is finally healthy. But we're no closer to seeing Greg Dulcich than we were a couple of weeks ago. And so that's something where I'm certainly not counting on him to be playing week one.
So is this a big concern then at the tight end position, as you mentioned with Dulcich and his situation, his injury situation, but just the fact that maybe Albert O didn't separate himself from the rest of the pack?
Yeah, and Brady, I got to say, a couple weeks ago, we went through every position when I was on your show saying how good are they compared to the rest of the AFC West. One of the things that I said, I put the Broncos tight end at third, better than the Chargers. Nope, you were right. I'm going fourth in this division just because they have a lot of guys, but they don't have that one guy at all. And so this is one of the biggest positions of weakness on this team because you look at it, the most all-around tight end in Eric Saubert, well, he's just okay as a receiver and as a blocker. The best receiving option, Alberto, well, he has proved that he has not improved as a blocker. And Eric Tomlinson, their best blocker, he had one catch last year. He had two catches in this past preseason game, which doubled his catch total from last season. So it's a position where you have a lot of guys, but you don't have the guy.
Yeah. Oh, boy, that'll be interesting, too. You mentioned a few things on the offensive line note with Graham Glasgow. How many guys you think we're carrying there? And then also, what does that depth chart look like, at least for now, with the starters?
Yeah, you're probably going nine deep on the offensive line. And Billy Turner, he's going to be what decides what this starting offensive line looks like. If he's ready to go, he is easily your starting right tackle. Then Calvin Anderson, who's got so much work as a starter this offseason, he's going to be your swing tackle. I think we saw that pretty easily with him taking left tackle reps during this last preseason game. He's going to be your swing tackle. And then Graham Glasgow, if you're not able to trade him, he's going to stay on the team. He's not going to be cut. He's going to be your backup, really interior offensive lineman, along with Luke Wattenberg. So the Broncos' offensive line is slowly coming together, and Billy Turner's that final piece if he's healthy.
All right, Zach, we'll bust through the defense. I know you got to run. Defensive line, edge rusher, that kind of situation. What does it look like there on the line as far as how many bodies we can expect to be on the roster?
Yeah, I mean, especially with the way McTelvin played, I think you're keeping six guys on the defensive line. And like I said, Mike Purcell, really the question mark there. The Broncos want to save a little bit of money, and if they want to go with only five guys, that's probably the guy that you're moving on from. However, I wouldn't be shocked if McTelvin doesn't make this team because, like I said, he's had one game that put him on the roster. If the Broncos overlook that, he was on the outside looking in last week. So I still think they stick with six guys, but Brady, that is a position that I could see the Broncos going to the waiver wire for, and really a lot of positions on defense. I could see them going cornerback on the waiver wire, they could go inside linebacker, and they could also go defensive line.
As we move down to the edge rusher side, Zach, I'm thinking that's going to be a pretty big strength. And I know there's question marks surrounding Bradley Chubb, and can he live up to that top five draft pick status from a few years ago? The addition of Randy Gregory, Baron Browning, Nick Benito, obviously. This is a situation where I'm looking at these edge rushers thinking, man, this could end up at the end of the season being one of the strengths, maybe the strength defensively, maybe overall.
It certainly should be, but like you said, the talent is there, but the question marks are also there. This is probably the highest floor, or the highest ceiling and the lowest floor on the team when you look at this position. And this could be the difference, Brady, between the team winning, going 9-8, and the team going 11-6 and pushing for the division and making the playoffs. This position right here, because like you said, they have studs in Randy Gregory and Bradley Chubb. Are they both going to be able to put together big seasons together? Well, they've never done that. And so to count on them to both do that together, that's probably a long shot. Nick Benito ended up having two sacks, although it came against the backups of the backups of the backups. So he's probably not ready to have. And so to me, Brady, they're going to keep five outside linebackers. And the question of who exactly it is, are the Broncos able to trade Malik Reed? Because we know that George Payton's going to want to accumulate more draft capital for next year after trading it for Russell Wilson. If they're able to get a semi-good day three pick from Malik Reed, they'll probably do that and then hang on to Jonathan Cooper. If they're not, well, then Jonathan Cooper's probably on the out, despite him having a sack this preseason, in this preseason finale. He has really done nothing in training camp and in preseason. So I think that would be your five. Malik Reed makes it.
All right, Zach, we'll brush up here. Inside linebacker, that's certainly a position that's a little shaky. Joe Schobert was released last week, and I thought maybe he'd make more of a push. But what you're looking at there, maybe not a strength, but still you're wondering what that's going to look like. How many players are we carrying there?
Yeah, it seems pretty straightforward to me, Brady. You're going the starters, Josie Jewell and Jonas Griffith, and there is a lot of hope that Jonas Griffith is going to make the fight or going to be ready for week one. Then you have Alex Singleton, and Justin Strnad makes it on the initial 53. Wouldn't be shocked if he doesn't, and they only go three at inside linebacker. But then, Brady, I expect them to heavily go after the waiver wire to add someone there.
Yeah. All right, the cornerback safety side, let's go into that defensive backfield, obviously led by Patrick Surtain. He's not going anywhere. What are you looking at as far as the corners?
Yeah, corners, I mean, what it's going to come down to is what do they do with Michael Ojemudia? Are they going to move on from him? He is injured right now, so really tough to trade. That's a big question mark there. I love what I've seen from Damari Mathis. Has he probably maybe even jumped Michael Ojemudia on the depth chart, especially with OJ's injury? And that's also a position I could see them going for on the waiver wire, is picking some guy up there because you love what they have at the starters. But Ronald Darby and Kawan Williams are guys that don't stay healthy for a full year, so you got to have depth there. And with OJ kind of regressing in training camp, you don't love the depth.
Safety, and then we'll let you out of here, Zach. Justin Simmons, Kareem Jackson, what, Caden Stearns? I mean, what are we looking like there at the safety position?
Yep, you mentioned those three. Add P.J. Locke and DeLaron Turner-Yell, who, boy, did he have a great game as a tackler. Really, oh, man, I'm so bummed that they got in the end zone, because his hit at the goal line on fourth down was absolutely monstrous. They're going to keep him. They're going to keep five safeties, I believe, because P.J. Locke is a guy that they really trust. And I think J.R. Reed's on the outside looking in just because of the young depth there.
All right, Zach, we breezed through it, man. We'll promote the podcast so folks can go through, and we'll check. We'll check your work tomorrow, my friend. Zach, always appreciate you, my man. And next week, we'll be getting into game week, so we're pumped about that.
Oh, my goodness. I can't wait, Brady. We're almost there.
All right, my friend. Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. Yeah, no big shockers there to see, who's not going to make this team. Guys that we've been pretty much saying are going to be starters are going to be the starters. The backups are going to be the backups. So it does come down to how many receivers are you going to carry? Six, five, something like that. But you had enough guys showing flashes. It, like Seth Williams, Brandon Johnson goes down with the injury, but he had a decent preseason as far as gauging. And again, at the end of the day, you went 2-1. You assess so many players at these key positions that probably you're not going to see a lot during the regular season. So the cuts are coming tomorrow. They got to get this thing figured out. Nathaniel Hackett, George Payton got to get to the grinding stone here and figure out what that roster is going to look like. Some tough decisions ahead for Denver. All right, just like that, Zach Stevens starts us off. 24 minutes after the hour, we'll come back. We'll get to the good, the bad, the ugly from the weekend that was. And we'll go to our poll question, our Method Flow Products poll question. Over, under, five wins for the UNC Bears. They start their season this weekend as they get set to host Houston Baptist. So we have all college football teams that we cover in action this weekend. College football officially will be rocking this weekend, so pumped about that. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.